tomorrow. This is your last day of summer. Enjoy it. Summer is over. Some of you are glad about that. We've had a great summer weather-wise, I think. So, James 4:8, will you guys turn there in your Bibles today? We kind of cheat, because even though I tell you to turn in your Bibles, it's already on the screen. But I like Bibles. I like to bring Bibles to church, all those things. Can you guys read this with me today? Is that okay? Let's read. This is from the Holman Christian edition here. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners. Purify your hearts, double-minded people. Don't you feel encouraged already this morning? Oh, I love the first part of this verse. We're going to talk about the second half though too. But draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Let's pray today. Let's just pray over these next few moments that we have together, that God would speak to us. One of the prayers that I've been praying this morning is that when we get to this time of prayer that we're going to have at the end, that God would really meet with us in this place. I feel like he's already been doing that in here. But I'm believing. I'm preaching just to get to the end so that we can pray together today, which is a fun sermon for me because I'm excited for what God might do here today. I want to talk to you today about proximity, and that's my title of the message, and we're going to talk about that. Pastor's in Augusta, Georgia today at Dr. Sandra Kennedy's, and she's preaching this morning, so we're going to pray for her, and we're going to believe that God's going to pour out great there as well. Amen. Will you guys pray with me? We're praying for ourselves, praying for our pastor today. Father, we love you in this place. We're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for the power that it carries. Thankful, Lord, that for this book that's more than just a book, that it's words of life for us today. And I pray that in this place, as we hear your word, that it would go into us in a great way. We declare that we're good soil this morning. Come on, you're praying for yourself now. We declare over our lives that we're good soil. We hear your word today. We believe that your word's going to produce a great harvest in our life, the message that we hear today, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you can take the meditations of my heart and you can breathe life into them. You can give me grace this morning to just share your word with God's people. We pray for that great synergy that happens, Lord, when people expect and you step out in faith, Lord, and I believe for that to happen. We bless our pastor this morning in Georgia. We believe right now, Lord, you're just rocking that service, and you're pouring out your spirit, that you're giving strength to our pastor. And we're believing you, Lord, that there's going to be a great breakthrough, Lord. She's going to come back with great testimonies. We believe you, Lord, today in Tennessee and Georgia, Lord, that you're doing amazing things. In your name we pray. Everybody said, amen. I want to talk to you today about proximity. I've been kind of fascinated by this word, and for the last month, this word has just been rolling in my heart. I don't know if I can explain that correctly. I don't know if you ever get a verse or you feel God speak to you, and the only thing that you can hear over and over again is that one thing. And for me, that thing has been proximity. What is the definition of proximity? It is a, I don't know what's going on up there. We're dropping things, and we're good. I'm being silly. The definition of proximity means, if we were to define it, if you look it up, it means nearness in space, time, or relationship. You guys probably know that already, but that helps put it into perspective for me. And I want to talk to you today specifically about the nearness of relationships in your life. And we're going to talk about Jesus today and how it's so important in our lives that we do all that we can to get close to him. I know that's not a big revelation for you today, but it is still the truth. Are you with me? We know these things, but I want to encourage you and stir you up today. I found a picture the other day of my grandma, my abuela, who was from Puerto Rico, and I was loving this picture, because one thing about my abuela was she would always, whenever you would take a picture with her, she would make you pose with her. I'm talking like portrait studio poses, hands in certain places and legs in certain places. As I got older as a teenager, it felt a little uncomfortable and a little different. I found a picture from college of me and my three best friends, four of us, laying on my backyard, posed with my grandma in between us, my abuela. And it made me start to think about something she would always say to me when she was trying to get my attention. She'd say, "Mira, mira, look, look." And she'd say this. And if I would not pay attention to her, she would grab my shirt. And if I still would not pay attention to her, and sometimes I would just to get to see how far she would go, she'd start to punch me and smack me. And it was just kind of a fun thing. And this morning, without the punching and the smacking, I feel like this is a word for us. I want you to look and pay attention to what God might say to you today. I'm preaching just to get to the end so that we can pray together in this place. And I guess I'm saying for me, Mira, look. Look today at what God is saying to you. And you guys help me today. A quiet church is a dead church, so I want you guys to shout me down and preach. I'll preach better if you guys will talk back to me. And that Puerto Rican T.D. Jakes that's with inside of me will just start to come out. And so if you guys will help me today, this will be an amazing service because of the expectation. We've already prayed it. We're leaned in expecting God to do something. Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome. Proximity is an amazing thing. And being close to someone changes your life, both positive and negative sometimes. We talk a lot on Wednesday nights with our teenagers because in this forming time of their life, relationships is a big deal. One of the things we say all the time is, you show me your friends, I'll show you your future, who you surround yourself with. And that's really true for adults too, who you're near. Being close to somebody, I feel like I've been blessed in a lot of ways because I am the product of proximity, some great people who've gotten close to me and decided to pour into my life. Some of the things sometimes that you guys will commend me on or compliment me about our lives, and I just think, oh, wow, I didn't even really pay a price for that. Someone just gave me that. I've been blessed to be aligned with some great giants in the kingdom. They poured in. You can be with somebody. You could be doing the simplest things. You could be sitting on a bench talking in a park, and you can leave that conversation and be so changed just because of who somebody is. Does that make sense? When you're close to somebody, their presence and what they carry can change you in an amazing way. The gospel that we serve, the gospel that has saved us, the gospel that we lay our lives down for is a gospel of proximity. There's a lot of things that are preached and a lot of things that represent the kingdom of God all over. Not all of them are great. Not all of them are accurate. But one of the things I think if you would just get down to the basic common denominator of what the gospel is, it is the gospel of proximity. And what I mean by this is there is a God who from Genesis to Revelation is showing us that he is drawing near to us. From the garden as he walked with Adam, all the way through the gospels when he sent his son, in Acts when he sent his Holy Spirit to us, right? All the way to Revelation when we'll see the victorious, triumphant king come back. It is all a picture of a God who loves us, who bypasses judgment to give us grace. He's coming close, coming close, coming close. And so this year, as I've been reading my Bible, one of the themes that I've been seeing is this thing about proximity. When Jesus got close, or when people got close to Jesus, it changed everything. Simple, right? But so profound to me. I just keep seeing it. People making efforts to draw near to Jesus, and suddenly amazing things happen. All over the Bible, a sinner walks into a room and she walks in with a box of perfume. And as she draws close, that box of perfume, by law, has to break open on that ground because of who Jesus is in worship. Come on. There are some things that when you get close to Jesus, things happen. You are changed today. This is a gospel of proximity. Our lives are changed when we draw close to him. And I want to talk to you about that today. So much of what I'm preaching today has already been confirmed already in the service, and I appreciate that when that happens. This verse for me, James 4:8, Brandon, if you stick it back up there for us, it has been a life verse for me. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So many times in my life, I've been in different situations, and I've prayed this prayer. God, I'm going to draw near to you, and I have expectation that you're going to draw near to me. I pray this often in my life. Often, often, often. But I tell you what has happened as I've grown in the Lord. I think before I used to think that this verse meant that for every step I took towards Jesus, that he was going to take an equal step towards me. If I took one, then he took one. It's like we're having some kind of dance or duel over here. If I took one, he took one. But what I've realized, what the revelation that I've realized is, it doesn't really take much for Jesus to show up in a situation or a life. It doesn't take 500 steps for him to come 500 steps towards us. What I've realized in my life time and time again, it all it takes is just a little bit of a turning. And all of a sudden, when I turn around, he is already there. And that's the revelation that I have of this verse. That's why repentance means to change your mind about something. It means a turning. And I believe that. And there are times in my life where I have been in a situation, and I've been praying, draw near to God. Draw near to me, God. And as I've turned, I've repented, as I've changed my mind about a situation, and I've turned around, he's already there. And I've turned right into his arms so many times. And his closeness and his proximity has completely changed my life. Now, the second half of this verse, we often don't want to talk about. I don't always want to talk about. But without getting too detailed about it, the second half of this verse talks about our effort to partner with God. Our effort. Everyone say effort. He'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners. Purify your hearts. Today, you double-minded people. There is effort. There's two types of miracles that happen. There is a miracle that happens just because of the sovereignty of who God is. He's that big. He just burst into a scene. He walks right into a situation. We don't even have to pray sometimes. People don't even have to be saved sometimes. That'll mess up our theology. God will do miraculous things for people that don't even call him Lord and Savior. But just because he's sovereign, just because he's a good God, and he will do those things. There's those types of expectant breakthrough miracles that happen. They happen all the time. I've been the product in my life of seeing miracles happen. I've seen my dad raised up out of the deathbed. I cannot imagine how my life would have been different without my father being miraculously rose out of a hospital bed where doctors didn't know what was going on. To this day, medically documented, they believe that it was just a miracle. Okay? That's a sovereign breakthrough. Sometimes we don't even have to pray and God will do the thing. But there's also a different type of miracle that happens, and this is what I want to talk to you about. My call to you guys today is that you are called in your life to walk in the miraculous. This is who we are as Christians. No one is exempt. It's not about whether you're doing the right things or not. This is just the gospel of proximity. That when you walking with the Lord, that he just draws near. And when he draws near, are you with me? Everything that is impossible becomes possible in an instant. What was not possible a second before his foot walked into the room now becomes possible. Just because he draws near. This is the thing that we carry. This is who we are. Breakthrough, the miraculous, revival, this is the norm for us. This is the norm for us. This is the ordinary for us as Christians. Sometimes we don't always see the manifestation of those miracles. I think I have a key today. The Lord's been talking to me. There are some miracles that are sovereign, and there are some miracles that take your effort to partner with Jesus. Come on, hear me today. There are some miracles that just happen because he's that amazing. And there are some miracles that happen, I don't know why, maybe because God is wanting to know, do you want it? Are you serious enough? And there's a difference. It's not that you're earning. We don't earn miracles. It's not works. But there are some things that God will just require our effort to partner with him, and we'll see different things. Let me read you a quote here that kind of supports that for me today. Mark Batterson says it this way in his book, some miracles take sweat equity. Your effort doesn't make them happen, but your lack of effort can keep them from happening. I'm going to read that to you again. Some miracles take sweat equity. Your effort doesn't make them happen, but your lack of effort can keep them from happening. What I want to talk to you today is about proximity and your responsibility in your life to draw near to God, to do all that you can with all of your effort, to put your sweat equity into pursuing a breakthrough in your life. Does that make sense? There's three things I want to look at. One is about, there are some things that you have to do to push back. There's other things that sometimes we become the channel of a miracle for somebody else because of our own efforts. And the third I want to talk to you today about is your words and how they can bring God closer to you or even keep him at bay, depending on what you're saying. So three areas of proximity today. Number one, get closer to Jesus by pushing back the crowds. Get closer to Jesus by pushing back the crowds. I took three stories today out of the Gospels, but there are stories all over we could find about these things, about our efforts getting us closer to Jesus or people's efforts and what happened after that. Let's read today in Mark 5, 24 through 32. I'm going to tell you to turn there, but it's already on the screen, so that's okay. All right, let's read it. Jesus went with them, and a large crowd was following and pressing against him. A woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years. How many have heard this story before? Yeah, you guys know this. Had endured much under many doctors. She had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. On the contrary, this is an important part of this story. On the contrary, she became worse. She, with her own efforts, is trying all that she can. But while she's doing it for 12 years, she's getting sicker and sicker. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you're trying to do all the right things and it seems like the situation is getting worse. Have you been there? I've been there before. I've been there recently. I don't have an answer, but she's going to tell us how to do this. Having heard about Jesus, I love that. She just heard about him. She had never met him. She just heard about it, heard what she was doing, he was doing. She came behind him in the crowd. Everyone say the crowd. All three of these stories I'm sharing with you today are all about the crowd. There's a crowd in each of these stories. And touched his robe. We've talked about it here before. The Bible tells us she didn't just touch his robe, but she touched him on a very specific part of that robe. She touched him on the tassels of the robe. And that tassels was a prophecy that said the healing would be in the wings of the Messiah. And she grabbed him on the wings. She was touching him not just as another special speaker. She was touching him, recognizing that he was the Messiah. And her faith was stretching out, pushing back through the crowd. And she specifically touched him in a part. Her efforts were going focused towards one part. It was that I need this healing today. I'm going to touch you right here. Is there more? Is there more here, Brandon? All right, awesome. For she said, if I can just touch his robes, I'll be made well. That's her faith speaking up. Instantly. Everyone say instantly. Her flow of blood ceased, and she sensed in her body that she was cured of her affliction. At once, this part is amazing to me. Because I want to talk to you today that your efforts can literally stop Jesus in his tracks. It can. He can stop and turn towards you because of your faith and your efforts. Like, I don't know who she is, and you know, I have a long list of people I want to meet in heaven and just hang out and have Starbucks chai tea with, because Starbucks chai tea is heavenly to me, so it has to be up in heaven, okay? I want to sit down, and she is on my short list of people that I want to talk about, because There's several things that only happen once or twice in the Gospels, and he stopped. At once, Jesus realized in himself that power had gone out from him. How amazing is he that power could just go out, and he might not even know it, okay? Just because he comes close. He turned around in the crowd. Everyone say the crowd. Come on, say crowd. And said, who touched my robes? His disciples said to him, come on, bro. There's so many people pushing in here. I don't know if you guys have... Maybe they didn't just say bro, but I don't know, maybe. In my version, they do, okay. I don't know if you've ever been in a crowd before. I've been at sporting events and concerts. You've been in a crazy atmosphere, a lot of people. Sometimes you don't always have control where you're going. When I've been with my kids in those situations, like, hold on to me and follow me. Crowds are crazy. One time I did security at a concert with, 7,000 teenagers. And my job was to push people away from the stage, which later I didn't know how I felt about pushing teenage girls back and guys back. It was crazy. If the crowd wanted to, they could have just killed me or something. I don't know. You see the crowd pressing against you, and you say, who touched me? They're saying, Jesus, how could we figure this out possibly? But Jesus knew that there was a different level of faith that had touched him in that moment. So he was looking around to see who had done this. Is that it? I didn't do the rest, but you guys know how this story ends. He commends her. He tells her that she's been healed because of her faith. My call to you today is that there are some crowds in your life that try to suffocate you, that will keep you from Jesus if you'll let them. She is a mentor to us. She's a mentor in the Bible. That's why we read the Bible, because we receive mentors. And she teaches us a truth that at your wit's end, at your weakest point, you're never to give up. You're to keep pushing on and keep reaching for Jesus. Like, she's there. She's not only an inspiration for us, but she's an indictment against us. She's not only an inspiration, but she's an indictment. And here's how the Lord moves sometimes. Sometimes when he really does something in your life, he'll do it when we're at our weakest point. Because the Bible tells us there is strength in weakness. There is strength in weakness. And in her weakest state, I love that she's, I kind of love this. I feel bad for her, but she's healed now, so it doesn't matter. Okay? But I love that she wasn't like a healthy person. She, with all her weakness, and every cultural thing that's going on, you guys can study this scripture. We could preach a whole sermon series just on these verses. Culturally, as a woman, she was not allowed to touch a teacher. She wasn't allowed to touch a male. Culturally, of what was going on in her body, she was considered an outcast and was considered unclean. And yet she pushes through all those things in her weakness, through every cultural standard or every cultural burden that's been placed upon her. And she says, forget about it. I need to get close to Jesus. She's a mentor to us, and she stands as an indictment that when you're going through a hard thing in your life, you're not allowed to throw in the towel. You're not allowed to just stand by and let things walk past you and happen. She didn't just stay in her house that day and just hear the crowd. She got out of the crowd in her weak state and said, I got to touch his robes, and she got her breakthrough. Her efforts, partnering with Jesus in that moment, brought that miracle. There are some miracles that will happen sovereignly. There are other miracles that will happen as you partner with him. As you put sweat equity into a situation, God will meet you. What are the crowds in your life today that you need to push back on? What are the crowds? Come on, what is it? Think about it. Let the Holy Spirit show you. Is it a sin in your life that's suffocating, keeping you from Jesus? Is it apathy? Is it discouragement? Is it depression? What are the crowds in your life that are keeping you? She stands as a testimony that we are to push through every crowd in our life to get to him. Sin, discouragement, hopelessness is a big crowd sometimes. We got to push back. We got to push back. Just like, Martin's not here. Did he go up to the nursery? I don't know where Martin is. It's okay, but I was just watching Martin in a game, and he pushed back. He's a lineman on that DB team. And one of those things that those linemen do in football is that what they want to do is just immediately push back their opponent. And that's what we have to do sometimes to get to Jesus, is we have to push back. Come on, say it with me. Push back. Push back to get your miracle. You know where you push back? You push back in the secret place. That's how you push things back. That's why the secret place is important. What the secret place is just a place of pushing back. Pushing those things away so that you can get closer to Jesus. Push back in your quiet time with the Lord. Get your miracle. He's strong in our weakness. Number two, proximity. Get your friends closer to Jesus. Get your friends closer to Jesus. Let's read this. We know this story too. Luke 5, 17 through 20. On one of those days, while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and also from Jerusalem, and the Lord's power to heal was in him. Just then, some men came, carrying on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed. They tried to bring him in and set him down before him. Since they could not find a way to bring him in because of the what? Because of the crowd. They went up on the roof and lowered him on the stretcher through the roof tiles into the middle of the crowd before Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." You know what I love about this? There are some miracles where Jesus has compassion on the person that is in trouble. And in this case, what causes him to heal the person is the friend's faith, not necessarily the paralysis of the person on the mat. Did you guys catch that? You, is there more to that? Did I say it all? I don't have my notes up here, Brandon. Thank you. Just help me out. Just keep me in line. Brandon keeps me in line anyway. So, this verse, get your friends closer to Jesus. We're serving a gospel of the proximity in the sense that God comes near. But one of the byproducts of serving Jesus and pushing through the crowd is that you suddenly become a miracle for somebody else. This is how the kingdom works. You get filled up on God. You get filled to the brim. And when you start walking around and people in your life, on your job, and when your friends and your family, wherever you are, you bump into people and that stuff just spills out of you onto people. And suddenly what was in you is now on people. And suddenly you become the agent of being a miracle for somebody else. I believe this today more than anything. It is our responsibility sometimes to bring people to Jesus. You probably have somebody in your life that you're the miracle for. You're the answer for their miracle in their life. Your job is to grab their mat and carry them closer to Jesus. This is what it is. When we hang out with Jesus, we can't help but make this happen. We can't help it. We want to. When you've really spent time with Jesus, then you want to see other people get close to him. And suddenly you become that person. Now here's the problem. Here's what I want to specifically tell you. I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray here in a few minutes. I'm preaching shorter today because I want us to pray longer in the service. There are people in your life that you have stood from a distance for whatever reason. Maybe you weren't always distant from them, but you now are distant from them. And you're looking at them laying lame on their mat. And you're standing there, and I'm saying you, but I'm really saying me. I've just already got to answer my altar call because I know where I'm going today. I already prayed last night and said, God, forgive me of these things, okay? There are times in my life where I've had a friend or had somebody, a family member in my life, and I've just stood from a distance and just spoke judgment over them. They deserve that. That's what they get for their choices. I don't have time for that. We can say whatever. Sometimes we say it a lot nicer than that, but really what it is just we distance ourselves from people that need us to help them get to Jesus. You know what was great about this miracle? This is an up-close and personal miracle. They were grabbing that mat. They were walking on top of a roof. I don't even know how they made that happen in that time. Now, we just see the words, you know, they just loaded down. We think that was all nice and easy. You know, if you really study this, some people say that those roofs, if you just study the roofs of the time, the roofs, you'll find out they were full of mud. They were full of all kinds of things that they probably had to dig through their hands just to get them in there, get them close to Jesus. Get your friends closer to Jesus. Bill Johnson says this, we owe the world an encounter with Jesus. We owe the world. Why do we owe him? Why do we owe the world? Because of what has happened to us when Jesus has gotten closer to us. The mat in this story, the stretcher, represents our testimony, our words, our actions. If we're listening to the Holy Spirit or not, our courage, our strength, our endurance. What is your testimony can bring someone closer to Jesus. Your courage, obedience, listening to the Holy Spirit sometimes, just saying a word of encouragement in a situation can bring somebody closer to him. I got a friend who texted me on Thursday. If you've ever been a youth pastor, you may not know this, but Thursdays sometimes can be like a Monday morning to youth pastors. I had a mentor who told a group of us one time, a group of youth pastors said, never resign on a Thursday. Never resign on a Thursday. Wait till Friday. You'll probably feel a little bit different. What happens is sometimes when you're at the service, you think, oh, you know, you're just going through like, who wasn't there, and maybe I said the wrong thing, and those kind of things, and you can feel sometimes just discouraged, and mainly just because you're tired and you've poured out in ministry, so you have to fight against that sometimes. And I was kind of in that on Thursday morning, and I got a text from my friend Matt, who's a youth pastor in Virginia, and he said, Dre, just want to let you know that I used you as an illustration in my sermon last night. I wish you were there. Now you guys say, oh, sweet, but I know Matt. Matt was my college roommate. So I immediately thought, what illustration did he use me as? And I fired off three or four. Did you use that? Did you use that? Did you use that? And I want to tell you about my relationship with Matt. Matt was a little bit younger. He was a great athlete. And I recruited him to be my roommate because he was a good basketball player. And we had dorm basketball teams. We had a huge intramural league in my college. And so I said, Matt, come be my roommate because you'll be on our team. And we were trying to build this winning intramural college team. Pathetic, right? But hey, it's okay. It was a big deal to us. So what happens is when everyone signed up to be on the team, we had more than normal. We had to split into two teams. And I had recruited Matt to be on this team with me. And so when we figured out all the upperclassmen that would be on the good team. Matt didn't make the cut, even though he was a really good player. So I had to deliver him the news, which said, Matt, I have good news and bad news. The good news is we've named you team captain, and you're going to get to score a lot of points. The bad news is you have nobody else on your team that's really good. I was on the A team. He was on the B team. To this day, he will randomly send me a text. Thank you for the B team, Andre. You lied to me. So I thought that was one of them. I used to do this thing with Matt where we would be talking, and our dorm was across from the girls' dorm, conveniently, and we'd always, you know, we'd watch as people come into their dorm and girls, and we'd be talking to people or whatever. And every once in a while, when me and Matt were looking out the window, I would slam Matt's body against the window, so he looked like this. And as a group of girls passed, and I would shout, "Hey, girls, my name's Matt. Here's my number. Call me." Are you a freshman? I don't care. Call me anyway. And I would do this several times, and he would just be frozen there. Now, here, I'm telling you all that to be silly and tell you, when he said I used you as an illustration, I was thinking of all these things. I used to do a thing where I would take a football, throw it into Matt's room, all time, hours of the day, and I'd yell fumble. And as Matt would get to pick it up, I would just tackle him wherever he was. So I went through all these scenarios, but then he says, no, Dre, yeah, I don't know if you remember this. I was getting ready to go home, and you called me down about my relationship with my father. I had unforgiveness. I don't know if you remember this, but it was a turning point in me and my dad's relationship, and I used it yesterday in my sermon. I can't tell you how shocked I was, because that happened 15 years ago. I vaguely remember this conversation. He never spoke to me about it again. And 15 years later, he's saying, that was a mat for me. He's a mat. Put Matt on a mat. Okay. But so I was encouraged in a moment. So you know what happens? He says, hey, you helped me. And his telling me the encouragement is helping me in the moment. We have a responsibility to do all that we can to get people in our lives closer to Jesus. Close the distance today. When you guys come, we're gonna pray today. Some of you need to bring your cell phone with you. This is the only time I'll tell you to bring your cell phone to the altar. But some of you, I believe, when you come to this altar, God's gonna put somebody on your mind today that you have some distance with. Maybe that you could text. Maybe you need to call and say, "I love you. I'm thinking about you today. I want to help you." Last one, number three. You guys okay? Get closer to Jesus with your words. This is a big, big deal. Mark 10, 46 through 52. They came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large, say it with me, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. Now, where are they? They're at Jericho. What was one of the most famous things that happened at Jericho? A shout that the walls came down. Keep that in mind as you're here. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out, or he began to what? Shout? Shout out, Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. Many people told him to keep quiet, but he was crying out all the more, have mercy on me, Son of David. I want to say this to you. This came to me as I was praying last night about this. I'd never seen this before. Jericho was the place of victory, where the shout was part of the victory. Here is this blind beggar shouting. And what are the enemies doing? They're trying to stifle the shout in the place of the victory. There are certain things in your life that you already have a victory in. Don't ever think that the enemy won't try to come and tell you you don't have the victory anymore. That was a place of breakthrough. There was already a breakthrough in Jericho where shouts could bring God close. I don't know if you caught that today. There was already a victory. There was already ground gained in that area. And they were telling him, hey, this isn't how it is. But this was the reality. This is the truth. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man. What happens? Jesus, the shout of Bartimaeus stops Jesus in his tracks and says, I like that guy. Bring him to me. I wonder if Jesus recognized, I'm sure Jesus recognized where they were and what a shout had done thousands of years before. And he realized what was happening in that moment. They called the blind man and said to him, have courage. Don't you like these guys now? They're telling him to shut up, and now they're trying to encourage him. Hey, buddy, don't be afraid now. We were just trying to shut you up 2 seconds ago. Get up. He's calling for you. They're excited. You know why? Those guys wanted to come too, hang out with Jesus. He threw off his coat. See, the word preaches sometimes without us needing to see it. He threw off his beggar's clothes. He threw off his effort, his sweat equity. Partnering with Jesus in that moment, he changed his wardrobe. That's really important. Jumped up and he came to Jesus. Then Jesus answered him, what do you want me to do for you? Rabbi, the blind man told him, I want to see. Go your way, Jesus told him. All these passages, what has been the catalyst? The people's faith. They partnered with Jesus in faith. Your faith has healed you. Jesus didn't say, I healed you. Your faith has healed you. Now, we know how it works and where it comes from and all those kind of things, but Jesus is setting a precedent in these situations that there are some miracles that happen sovereignly and there are some miracles that happen as we partner with him. Immediately, say it with me, immediately he could see and began to follow him on the road. The passage preaches. Immediately the miracle happens and then he is compelled to follow him. Your words are a really big deal. Your words are a really big deal. If we really believe that the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue, then we have to believe that our words really matter. They tried to silence his words, and yet his words is what brought Jesus close to him. I think sometimes, I know in my own life, that my big old mouth is my greatest enemy. Not just with people, not just getting into situations where I do, because I've done that plenty and I'll probably continue to do that sometimes. But sometimes what I think and say about my own self, my complaining, my criticism, if I really believe that life and death are in the power of the tongue, then I have to believe that every time I complain, that it does something in the atmosphere. Every time I criticize, that I'm actually tearing down something or somebody. I have to believe that if the Bible is true. My words have to change sometimes for my breakthrough to happen. What I say, what I think about. That's why these small groups are really important, because in order to change what you say, you have to change your thinking. That's why some of you have to really sign up. Like some of you really need a change in your thinking. I need a change in my thinking today. Without his grace and the nudges of the Holy Spirit, I am a complainer and a whiner. I can prophesy every negative thing you could imagine over a situation or person before 8 o'clock in the morning without his grace. I hope I'm not the only one who's been there. This is who I am sometimes. Last night, as I was just praying over this message and praying for you and praying for our time of prayer, I was repenting of speaking hopelessness into some situations this week, saying things out loud. I have to believe that my efforts with my mouth can make a difference. I don't want to be a complainer. I don't want to criticize. And please, I'm so passionate about this. Like, please don't let me ever hear you complain about our church. Like, I'm from the hood. I really am. I'm from the hood. And I grew up in a generation that played violent video games. I will kick you in your spleen if I hear you complain. I really will. And I'm Puerto Rican, so I probably have a knife on me, and I'll cut you. You don't want to find out. I'm just telling you. Before Pastor John fires me, I will cut you. Don't complain about our church. Don't prophesy. Don't tear it down. Shout truth. Shout possibility. When you see something that frustrates you, when you see something that doesn't work out right, take on the burden to pray for it. Don't stand at lunch after church and talk about everything that went wrong. That does nothing. That does everything wrong for you, but it does nothing for us. Speak life. Build up. It's a discipline. It's easier to tear down. It's a lazy way of living to just tear down people and look for the worst. You'll always find it. You'll always find it. You can find the worst in everybody. It's so easy to do that. The discipline, the godly, mature discipline in your life is to find the best. Speak the best. Declare the best is yet to come in situations. I love Bartimaeus. I love his cry, because his cry is from not a place of pride. I'm so good. I've done these things. I've tithed. I've whatever. His cry is the cry of humility. Son of God, have mercy on me. If you don't know what to say sometimes, just say that. Have mercy on me and in this situation. Your words can keep a miracle from happening in your life. Come on, I don't know if you believe it or not, but your words really can. My words have delayed my miracles in my life. They've delayed miracles happening. All right, I'm done. Thank you, Pastor John. And he said that after I said I'd kick you in the spleen. So, will you give me 15 minutes to pray in this room today? I wanted to preach shorter today so that we could have a place of encounter in this room. Because I really believe with all of my heart that the application for a word like this is that you get close to Jesus. That's it. That's the simple application. And so here's what I'm going to do today. They're going to play some worship music on. And I'm going to invite you to step out of your seat today and find a place towards the front where you can stand, you can kneel. Even if you can't get to the front, but just step out of where you're sitting as a prophetic act today, that I am moving with proximity, with closeness to who Jesus is this morning. Come one of three ways today. I believe that some of you probably feel pushed and suffocated by something today. Come to this altar and push back in prayer and worship. Whatever it is, discouragement, hopelessness, sin, maybe you've got a situation in your life that just feels overwhelming. Partner with him for your miracle and your breakthrough today. Put some sweat equity into your miracle and push back this morning in prayer. Some of you come today at the altar and you have some people in your life that need you. And as you come today, I believe that God's going to give you a fresh burden for those people, for the people on the mat. Some of you have family or friends that you've distanced yourself for whatever reason. Maybe you don't believe in them, or maybe they've hurt you. Today is the day to reconnect with them and get closer. Bring your phone with you. Bring your phone. Some of you can just text a message and say, I love you, I'm thinking about you, and that will close the distance. Because I think the Lord really showed me that today. I believe that some of your text messages or just a reminder to call somebody after the service is going to make a change in the relationship today. Really believe that from the Lord. Bring your cell phones with you to the altar. If you're playing Candy Crush, I may have an altar, have an usher remove you. Maybe. Okay. The third one. Come today if you need to change your words. Maybe you need to get a new mindset. You need to ask forgiveness for the things that you've been thinking and saying in pride. And ask God for the spirit of humility to come into your speech. Did you hear that? Ask God. This is what I'm asking God. God, come with the spirit of humility in my speech. Like Bartimaeus, son of God, have mercy. Guys, would you put that worship on? And how you feel led, will you give me 15 minutes of prayer in this room? There's no right or wrong way to do it, but I'm going to ask that you make an altar. Nobody leave the service. I'll close it today. But let's come and make a place of prayer, and let's push back every crowd in our life and get closer to him. Come on.